Radio Prague News. The Health Ministry has ordered emergency inspections of alcohol at eating establishments across the country after more than 10 people were admitted to hospital over alcohol poisoning. The appeal by the midwife Ivana Königsmarková has been rejected by the Supreme Court. And the National Theatre Management has called for the dismissal of the culture minister. The Health Ministry will carry out emergency inspections of alcoholic beverages in cafeterias and restaurants in the whole of the Czech Republic, following a string of cases of methanol poisoning in different cities since last week. So far, 3 people have died as a result of poisoning and at least 8 others have been hospitalized in grave condition. The most recent case was the central Bohemian city of Příbram, where a man was admitted on Sunday night after losing his sight. If the inspectors find any hard alcohol of questionable origin, the information will be immediately handed over to the police for further investigation. The Supreme Court of the Czech Republic has rejected an appeal from the head of the midwives' union, Ivana Königsmarková, on Monday. Last year, Ms. Königsmarková received a 2-year suspended sentence for negligence resulting in grievous bodily harm during a home birth and was banned from carrying out home births for 5 years. She was accused of not carrying out proper CPR procedures on a newborn after complications at birth. The defendant has maintained her innocence throughout the trial. Ms. Königsmarková said she will carry her appeal to the Constitutional Court. The management of Prague's National Theatre has called for the dismissal of Culture Minister Alena Hanáková over Friday's unexpected sacking of the theatre's director Ondřej Černý. The management questioned the move in an open letter to the Prime Minister and criticized the Culture Minister's decision to appoint her deputy Martin Sankot as a temporary replacement. The Cultural Minister has agreed to meet with theatre representatives on Tuesday, but made it clear that her decisions regarding the theatre were irrevocable. The level of unemployment has not changed in August from July's 8.3% in the whole of the Czech Republic, although there are approximately 1,000 more people looking for work. The number of new positions increased by 3.6% that month. In previous years, August figures usually decrease compared to the preceding month. Analysts expect the situation on the job market to get worse starting in September, in part due to the large number of fresh college graduates that will enter the market. Given the current economic recession in the Czech Republic, employers are cautious about hiring a lot of new workers. And now for the weather. The coming days should see clear skies with possible light showers in the evenings. Day temperature will reach up to 29 degrees Celsius. I'm Masha Walensky, and that's all for the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Jan Richter. In today's show, Czech authorities are taking extraordinary measures to prevent more cases of methadone poisoning from bootleg liquor. Then we'll have the latest news from the world of Czech sport. And later we talk to Jana Smigl-Skavková, the head of a Czech NGO promoting gender equality. All that and more coming your way, so please stay tuned. The Czech Republic is in the grip of a methadone scare after 11 people suffered acute methadone poisoning from bootleg alcohol. As the number of fatalities rises, police around the country are trying to trace the source of the contaminated liquor, issuing urgent warnings to the public. Daniela Lazarová reports.
Police are out in force in the Moravian town of Havířov, making sure the methanol warning reaches those who need to hear it most, homeless people and those out on the street likely to buy cheap bootleg alcohol. 3 of the 7 people who bought cheap brandy on tap at a stall in Havířov last week are dead. 3 others are in a coma on life support. Another has gone blind. All suffered acute methanol poisoning, which is known to have fatal consequences. The town spokeswoman, Eva Vojnarová, says they're dealing with an emergency situation.
The situation is grave and there is considerable danger to citizens' life and health. The police have closed down 5 stalls which sold bootleg liquor and are now trying to trace the source of contaminated batch.
The owner of one of the stalls has been charged with causing grievous bodily harm resulting in death and is in custody awaiting trial. But he does not appear to have produced the homemade brandy, and it is still not clear how much of it was put on the market or where it may surface. Over the weekend, 2 other cases appeared in the towns of Znojmo and Kyiv, both located in South Moravia at a considerable distance from Havířov. Although one of the men is employed in Havířov and admitted to having consumed cheap brandy bought in the street, the other had no apparent connection to the place. He had consumed alcohol at a local disco and pub the previous night. With the source of the contaminated alcohol unclear, the mayors of Kyiv, Znojmo and nearby towns are holding crisis meetings with doctors and police to consult preventive measures and an effective information campaign. Monday morning confirmed the worst fears. An acute case of methanol poisoning was reported in Příbram, central Bohemia. A 65-year-old man is in critical condition and has gone blind after drinking several shots of vodka bought at a local store. Vladimir Steiner from the Czech Association of Spirit Producers and Importers says that while 15% to 20% of the liquor consumed in the Czech Republic annually is homemade, this particular batch is something entirely different.
This, in my view, is a criminal offence. The health problems we are seeing could not have been caused by homemade brandy, which often contains small traces of methanol that could make people sick, but would not be fatal. If you ask me, I think that someone producing bootleg alcohol had access to the methanol that is imported to the Czech Republic for industrial use. It comes at half the price of ethanol, and I think someone intentionally substituted it looking to make a quick fortune, and knowing that by its color, taste and smell, it is indistinguishable from ethanol.
With a methanol threat now nationwide, police are out in force around the country checking out street stalls and small mixed goods stores that sell cheap liquor. The Health Ministry is sending out inspectors to restaurants, canteens and eateries around the country. People are repeatedly being warned not to consume unlabeled alcohol or order spirits on tap. Although the shocking reports on the case have now made most people highly cautious about what they consume, the police fear that those who are at real risk of buying cheap bootleg liquor are not likely to be listening.
Daniela Lazarová reporting on the methadone scare the country has not seen in decades. Coming up next, a roundup of the latest Czech sports news. And we begin with football, where the Czech Republic's national team drew 0-0 against Denmark in Copenhagen on Saturday in the team's opening game of the qualification for the World Cup 2014 in Brazil. The Czechs, who played without injured captain Tomáš Rosický and midfielders Daniel Kolář and Václav Pilař, only took a single shot at the goal against the hosts, who dominated the game. The Czech team disappointed their fans with the defensive tactics, but as coach Michal Bílek pointed out after the game, the team's first point in the World Cup qualification Group B was as much as the Czechs could hope for.
First of all, we had issues with the lineup, which was difficult to put together as we have so many injured players. We also played against an opponent that was a favorite in the game, so we have to be happy about that point. It was hard won.
The Czech national football team is next playing Finland in a friendly game before taking on Malta in October in Prague. Moving on to tennis now, where there were 3 Czech players in the finals of the US Open, but none of them managed to win the title. In women's doubles, Andrea Hlaváčková and Lucie Hradecká, seeded 3rd, lost to the second seed Sara Errani and Roberta Vinci of Italy 4-6, 2-6 on Sunday, and failed to win their second Grand Slam title in their careers. In men's doubles, Czech Radek Štěpánek with India's Leandre Paes lost to the Bryan brothers from the US 3-6, 4-6 in the US Open's final. For his part, Tomáš Berdych in men's singles, who knocked out world number one Roger Federer in the quarterfinal, failed to reach Sunday's final when he lost to Andy Murray of the UK 7-5, 2-6, 1-6 and 6-7 on Saturday. The Czech's sixth seed complained about strong wind, which made it difficult to serve.
Of course, right now it's sad. Of course, I don't like to lose the match, and not a match like this in the semis, which I thought that I had a pretty good chance. But you know, I would say that the best word I can say that the wind blew it away from me, and probably in a couple of days I can see it positively that you know I made a semis, played a great match against Roger, and just go forward.
In the sport of ice hockey, a new Prague-based club, Lev Praha, had a successful premiere in the Continental Hockey League on Thursday when they beat Dynamo Riga 2-1. The Lions were losing 1-0 but came back and took 3 points thanks to Slovak forwards Lubomír Bartečko and Tomáš Surobý. Bartečko spoke to Radio Prague after the match about what he thought of the game.
For us, this game was very important as far as getting into the game and you know, winning this game, because with you know, our new franchise coming into this league and with a lot of speculations from a lot of people, you know, if we're going to survive or if we're not going to survive, I think this was very important. And you know, for me myself, getting the first goal is also important. You know, for every player, getting the first one is you know, it's like a kickstart for you to into the season. So it's good. You know, I enjoyed it, and I'm happy that we got the win.
In their second appearance in the Russian-based league, Lev Prague lost 1-4 to Spartak Moscow in Prague on Saturday. In their three-match home stretch, the new franchise played Donbas Donetsk later on Monday before going to play three games in Russia and Belarus. And finally, Czech athletes won 11 medals at the 2012 Paralympics, which came to a close in London on Sunday. Jiří Ježek won gold in cycling, and the Czechs also won 6 silver medals in archery, club and discus throw, cycling and in boccia, along with 4 bronze medals, which came in cycling, shot put and swimming. Jiří Ježek won his 11th medal in London to become the most successful cyclist in the history of the Paralympics. The gold medalist told Czech Radio he was considering competing at the next Paralympics in Rio de Janeiro as well.
I'll be getting back to Prague, where I will keep cycling, because there are many races scheduled before the end of the season. I will also start getting ready for the future, because I can say now that I have decided to go on. I'm not sure if I make it to Rio de Janeiro, but I will continue for at least 2 or 3 more seasons.
Nevím, jestli říct až do Ria, ale minimálně další 2-3 sezóny.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, where our guest in this edition of One on One is Jana Smigel-Skavková, the head of a Prague-based NGO, Forum 50%.
As Czech political parties roll out their campaigns for the Senate election next month, supporters of gender equality are worried that not enough women are making it into the upper echelons of Czech politics. The non-profit organization Forum 50%, which advocates equal representation of women and men in politics, have recently launched a campaign titled Time for Change that will try to get 30% female candidates on every political party's ballot. I spoke to Jana Smigel-Skavková, the head of the organization, about how quotas can work in the Czech Republic, the presidential elections next year, and how her beliefs are reflected in her personal life. I started by asking her what her organization is trying to achieve with the new campaign.
The campaign, actually, its aim is to promote quotas as a tool that really helps to get more women into decision-making procedures, mainly in politics. And actually, maybe I wouldn't be so optimistic as to think that we would already reach 30% of the ballots in the upcoming elections. I guess that's too late. But promoting quotas is a more long-term goal, and we think that the level of understanding of quotas actually are and how they really work is quite bad in our country. So the aim is also to explain to broad public what quotas actually are, how they work, and that they're not something undemocratic, and that it's a common tool that is widely used around the world to get more women into top positions in politics. And the campaign should be an awareness-raising campaign, but also it should prepare ground for us to lobby for adoption of quotas among politicians. So we are targeting the broad public at the moment, but of course, at the same time, we plan to work closely with the politicians.
According to a poll that I think was done about 2 years ago, around 86% of Czechs would like to see more women in politics. So obviously you have the popular vote on your side. Do you have any politicians who are already negotiating with you and will possibly be for these changes in the future?
Yes, we have some contacts among the politicians. Unfortunately, the only party openly supporting quotas, even legislative quotas, is the Green Party, which is not in the parliament at the moment. But we also negotiate with other parties, and for example, Social Democratic Party. There are some people within the party who would favor this proposal, but there are also people who are against it. As for the other parties, the situation is even much more difficult and complicated. So there's rather huge resistance against quotas among political parties and among the politicians, both women and men, I have to say.
This is a system that has worked quite well in a lot of Nordic countries, but how do you envision it working in the Czech Republic?
Basically, there are two types of quotas. You have quotas for the results, which is like reserved seats, and that's not a very usual thing. They exist, for example, in Rwanda. What we want is the other way. It's quotas for the list of the candidates. So let's say it's the quotas that regulate the starting point of the elections. Our idea is that there should be certain minimum level of candidates of both genders or sexes on the ballots, but saying, for example, at least 30% of the posts or places on the ballots should be occupied by men or women. So we also think it should be like gender neutral. Might be in the future that men will need some support, who knows? Because the goal is really to reach some kind of balance. But there's also another important thing, and that is ranking order. There should be a rule also stating, for example, that every third person on the list should be of the opposite sex. This is, for example, how the Green Party does it, which actually means every third person would be a woman. In the Nordic countries, they even use a zip system, which means that you have always like a man-woman on the list. But this is too ambitious for our country. So our proposal would be at least 30% on the ballots. And what we wanted to suggest was on the first two positions of the list, men and a woman.
Right now, in the lower house of the parliament, there are 22% female MPs, which is around 40 women.
Exactly.
This fall, we're going to have elections for the upper house. What are your predictions about how many women at least will get onto the ballots and would get into that upper half of the ballots?
Well, the electoral system is different for the upper house. So there's a majoritarian system. So there's only one candidate for each party in each district, which is usually less favorable for women. The majoritarian system is more difficult for women to get elected. And also, if you compare the representation of women in the two chambers of Czech parliament, in Senate, it's 18.5% at the moment, while, as you said, it's 22 in the Chamber of Deputies. So it works differently. And it is also impossible, by the way, to have any kind of quotas for this kind of electoral system. And the parties are almost ready now with nominating their candidates. But as far as what I've heard, there are really not many female female candidates, and usually there are around 5 electoral districts where there are only men running in the elections for the Senate. So there are always some regions where you actually have no choice if you want to support a woman because there are only male candidates running for the elections. So I think it's going to be similar this year. And maybe what's interesting, in the last 4 elections, the proportion of women that were nominated as candidates for the Senate is getting lower and lower with every elections. But despite that, the number of senators that are women is increasing. So we can say that women are successful despite the fact that their parties don't give them the right chance.
In 2010, the party that had a relatively high number of female candidates besides the Greens, the party that actually made it into parliament, was the Public Affairs Party. They had not only a lot of female candidates, but a lot of very visible...
Beautiful and young.
Beautiful, young, and with a lot of political potential. Their party has managed to sully its name. And in a lot of the scandals, of course, the focus was never primarily on the women, but a lot of the women are involved in the scandals somehow. Do you think that has generally worsened public opinion of women in politics, or has it had no effect?
Well, I hope it didn't. But you're right that we had actually many questions from, especially from the Czech media, asking, exactly the same. Doesn't this mean that people will, you know, stop supporting women politicians? But we always say, no, it's nonsense, because of course we don't say that all the women politicians are always kind of angels, and they have the same right to be average or even bad politicians as men are, and everybody's used to that. Every week you read a new scandal about some male politicians, and we are used to it. And nobody questions whether this means that actually men as a sex shouldn't be in politics because they failed. So this is very unfair, and it shows clearly that we have kind of double standards for men and women in politics. And at the moment when a woman fails, everybody's saying, "Oh, look at her. This means that women actually are not good enough to be politicians." So I hope it didn't damage the good name that female politicians have in our country, but I would say it didn't.
And of course, there's a very strong and very popular woman, Miroslava Němcová, who is the Speaker of the Lower House, and I think she's managed to really keep her name clean, and she's very well respected, which brings me to a question of the next elections, which will be the presidential elections in January or February of next year. A lot of new things there, but one of the interesting polls that came out in the summer was that at least more than half of Czechs would prefer a female woman president rather than a male, which was quite interesting. First of all, does that really mean that the public opinion is on the side of more women being in politics? Another question is, why now, when already people are announcing their candidacy and there are at least 6 female candidates who have expressed their interest, the top 3, there's still only men. Yeah. None of the women have made it up there. Why is that?
Okay, I'll start with the first question. I really think that people have high hopes when it comes to women and their role in politics. I think they're also really at the moment fed up by the political culture in our country. I think everybody's kind of disappointed in politics in general, and they really hope that women might bring some kind of change, which I actually think they would, maybe not because they are better, but because simply if you would have more balanced share of women and men, and then I think the whole way how parliament works would change. So that's one thing. I know that people really strongly support the idea of having more women in politics. You mentioned the opinion poll. There were several opinion polls, which all of them showed quite clearly that there's really massive support of the idea of having more women in politics. To answer your second question, for example, Miroslava Němcová was originally one of the possible candidates for the presidential elections, but somehow she changed her mind. Nobody really knows why. I think she could have quite good chance to get to the second round. And as for the other women candidates, I'm afraid there's no strong personality that would be strong enough to get enough attention, to get enough support. Many of the women are not very well known among the people, and who knows, maybe there might be some new people still appearing and running in the elections. I don't think so. I would really love to have a first woman president, but I think we should focus maybe on the next elections and try to find some strong woman candidate, and already now start looking for one. And I think then we might be successful. Mm.
And then just your name, of course, right away kind of tells us that you really do truly stick to your beliefs. You have not only taken your husband's name, but also kept your name. And you didn't add the normal Ova to your husband's name. Are there other things about your personal life that show your belief in equality of genders?
So the things that I actually fight for in my work, I try to, or I do them in the same way in my personal life, which means that I have one son, one child, and we share the responsibilities for his upbringing with my husband. So I spent only half a year on maternity leave, which is very short for the Czech standards. And afterwards, I came back to work only part-time, and my husband also went working part-time. So we really equally shared, you know, work and taking care of our son, which is something quite unusual for our country. Well, also besides my work, I'm involved in other, let's say, political and feminist activities. So my work is not only a job for me. It's really some kind of personal belief that I really stand for.
Thank you so much for coming.
It was a pleasure for me. Thanks.
Masha Volinsky was talking there to Jana Smigel-Skavkova from the NGO Forum 50%. And that edition of One on One brings us to the end of Radio Prague's English program for today. All our programs are available online at radio.cz. And if you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.